Fred Rogers Investigation and Protection Services, Chicago. Sitting at his downtown office desk, Danny begins jotting ideas and angles of interest regarding the murders of Jamie Miller and daughter Jane. Though not technically a client, Danny wonders if he had said something different during their first and only conversation, she'd be alive today. Perturbed he hadn't met face-to-face to employ his unique talent or had been more emphatic about the underestimated danger, Danny's determined to visit the daughter's workplace and weigh reactions. Why had Jamie stayed another night in her home despite an explicit warning? His mind jumps around until focusing on his father's methods and wondering if he missed anything. After a few moments, he settles down for serious contemplation, discarding any notion of self-blame. Jamie's death was history, a bitter fact of life, and there's nothing he can do to change that. Regardless, a glass half full means looking forward, filling in the blanks, and perhaps getting even. Reexamining
Chicago, Illinois.
As the intrepid warriors climb into the world's most innovative bomb disposal suits with 360-degree protection totaling 69 pounds, they joke sadistically about their ballistic helmets rated as the world's first at level 3A, an important scale relevant to a select few. The expensive gear, made solely for military and law enforcement applications, employs advanced technology to defeat fragmentation of lethal materials, often exploding at supersonic velocities. Each man hopes the proof isn't needed today. As the two combat veterans put finishing touches assisting each other, they receive a piece of intel via micro headsets that instantly brings heads of sweat accumulating inside their 8-pound helmets.
"We've faced tough foes before,"
the leader assures his brave companions after the news is acknowledged. "But if we do our jobs, whoever put this doohickey on the door won't matter, because we're the best. Hurrah!" he asks. "Hurrah!" his partner chimes.
Racine, Wisconsin.
"Okay, then let's do it."
An elderly Winifred Weigand, Wynn, pulls into Mound Cemetery at a snail's pace, then parks her old baby blue Buick Century with low mileage in front of a particular grave area reserved for veterans near the back. From the trunk of her car, she extracts a fresh pot of flowers and exchanges it for an old pot at the graveside of her husband, a Korean War veteran buried next to his father and grandfather, all killed in action defending freedom somewhere on the globe. When Wynn finishes her bi-monthly ritual, the old woman limps to a nearby site where a Case 580 loader backhoe and several men are digging.
"What you doing, gentlemen, if I may ask?" she says politely.
"Go away, old woman," one man overlooking progress growls. "We're digging new graves. What do you think we're doing?"
"If you're digging graves, then why are you working here? The folks buried in this spot died almost 2 decades ago. I knew them well, sonny boy."
"We're going to rebury them in another place. Now, move along, please."
The old woman clicks false teeth, points her cane at the graves, and replies a little more strongly,
"I suppose you know who these graves belong to, young man, but it's very odd. I've never seen a grave exhumed unless the police are present. Do you have a permit for this ungodly desecration?"
"Lady, if you don't move, I'll have my men carry you back to your car."
And minus 87.912. "This intersection at Braun Road," he explains, using a lighted pointer, "is traveled sporadically by day, but seldom when we are planning to engage. Just in case, we'll have the highway patrolman setting up roadblocks about a mile north and south right before we hit. While I expect to hit them in the barn, we cannot let them loose in the town. Civilian casualties must be eliminated, gentlemen. I figure we'll have about 3 miles of kill zone before they reach dense populations where finding them will be tough. Along here, we will have a couple farm homes, but mostly cornfields.
With the crop in its present stage, we'll have plenty of cover. We should be able to walk right up to the barn without being seen. One ex-Delta member pipes up. Why don't we drop in a cruiser, J-Dam, Captain? Save us a lot of bother. Olson scratches his head and smiles. Well, that's a great idea and one with merit, but it was scrapped by a higher pay grade than me, he adds.